much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Radio. Radio who? Radio or not, here I come, and that's how it's done.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Dale, Sarah's failed her last two history exams.
Well, who cares? I mean, the California school system, all they teach you about is that we came from chimpanzees and about sharing. I'll learn her. I'll make sure she's learned.
Come on. Hit it, Steve. Let's hear it. Come on, Steve. Let's go, Steve. Steve, hit it.
And now.
Can you not?
Our feature presentation.
That's me at every party I go to, by the way.
Sure.
As I pull out the ukulele, man, nobody has time for Bean anymore. Hey, party people, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it's a Monday, and it's the 15th of July. Sup, children?
Sup.
Hello.
How was everybody's weekend?
Is your home still standing?
Yes. Thank you for asking. The hurricane came and went. It was a big rain event. I don't want to be too flippant about it. New Orleans was very, very lucky because there were a lot of people elsewhere in the state that did not fare so well. A lot of very serious flooding. Mm-hmm. A lot of people rescued via helicopter with their pets. So for some people, it was as bad as predicted, but it ended up achieving landfall some distance from the city. So we were fine here.
Good.
Yeah.
I was concerned. I was watching the news thinking to myself, what's going on with Bean?
Yeah, and they would say things like one city over from New Orleans, and it was underwater.
Yes. Like I said, it was a question of where it would achieve landfall, you know, and who would get the bulk of the rain. But, I mean, we're below sea level here. We're like a bathtub, so it doesn't take much to fill us up.
Ugh.
Why is that an ugh? I'm just saying topologically, I'm saying we're a big dip. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for asking. We're mm-hmm. fine. And I understand it got very hot for y'all.
Listen, I wouldn't know. I'm still in a hospital room.
You're still living in a hospital?
Still living in a hospital room.
Why are you even paying a mortgage anymore?
I know. Well, I did realize that we're at a point now where our house doesn't feel like our house. You know what I mean? Like after 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this place. No. I live in a one-room hospital.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just a place you go to change clothes.
Yes.
That's
but
it.
Things are looking up. So hopefully this week the boy will be home.
That's fantastic. Be great.
Yeah.
I was thinking about little Adler. I was thinking that for as long as he's had consciousness,
yes.
you know, the last few months before he was born, he thought, oh, this is where I live,
mm-hmm.
meaning your wife's womb. This
yeah.
is the entirety of the universe. This is the whole world. This is everything I see and everything I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then a shocking day happens where all of a sudden he is born.
Yeah.
And now he's like.
He breathes. Like
yes,
he enters the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. He's basically a test baby, he thinks. Like every day they poke me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but now it's been long enough that in his mind, the universe is the incubator.
Yeah.
Like this is the world now. This is all there is.
Yes.
This is where I'm going to live for the rest of my life because this is all I see and all I know.
Ironically, I feel the same way.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at some point, you swaddle that baby and he sees the sunshine.
Yeah.
And he sees a car and he sees a house.
Yep.
And he sees a crib. It would just imagine how much it would blow your mind if you were a little baby, if you could get inside his little head and think about how difficult it must be to take in all this new information.
Yes, I do. It's funny. It comes up a lot when you're reading about having a baby, about the shock the baby goes through the minute it enters the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. out of that fluid. Yeah.
It like bursts out of a bubble. And I mean, it gets squeezed out of a small little hole.
Hopefully.
That would be the hope.
Yeah.
And then water explodes. And then he's like, and then they have to catch their breath. And then they're brought over to a woman. And then they're on chest, and then they get bathed.
They get something shoved up their nose to suck some stuff out.
Yeah,
like, there's just so much.
And then the only thing that they know that feeds them gets cut off them, and they're like, "Food? No more food?" Like, there's so many questions they probably have, and we're lucky we don't remember any of this.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
And by the way, worse for giraffes because No, but seriously, because they go through all that, but the first thing that happens when they're born is not a doctor or a nurse's hand pulling them out.
Right.
You know, it's we fall 6 feet and hit the ground.
It's just a plop.
That's the first thing that happens to a baby giraffe when they're born is they fall 6 feet.
And then it's like, walk. They just say, walk.
And then it's like, walk 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess what we should say is it's tough being born.
Yeah,
I guess
not easy.
Tough being born. Hey, real quick, I wanted to mention this before we get on to today's excellent all new Monday Kevin and Bean show. Your mileage may vary on how much you take away from this story, but there were a lot of people. Well, first of all, it was a very emotional night at Angel Stadium on Friday night because it was their first home game since the road trip where they lost one of their pitching aces, 27-year-old Tyler Skaggs, which, by the way, they're saying now we won't know why he died until October. I don't know why it's taking so long, but they ruled out foul play and they ruled out suicide, according to press reports. So what happened to 27-year-old Tyler Skaggs? We don't know. But it was incredibly emotional, you know, not just for the fans and obviously family and friends, but his teammates, right? So their first home game back after they lost Tyler, they decided they were going to go all out with a tribute appropriately. They had a mural of him in the right center field. His mom, who, by the way, was, a pretty good softball player in her day, was kind of the one who, you know, kind of helped guide him through Little League and was his coach, essentially. Mm-hmm. Debbie, she threw out a very emotional ceremonial first pitch, which was a perfect strike, by the way. And then the Angels had a no-hitter. They won 13-0, unfortunately, over the Seattle Mariners. Here's where people are starting to put the pieces together and go, this is divine intervention. And this is where I'm out, but some people will find these numbers interesting. It was the 11th no-hitter in Angels history. Tyler wore number 11 at Santa Monica High School. Okay, maybe that's a stretch. Mike Trout hit a two-run homer in the first inning that went 454 feet. And, of course, Tyler Skaggs' number was 45. So 45 frontwards, 45 backwards. People said there was some significance to that. I don't think so. I just think it was another bomb from Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. He, by the way, Mike Trout says that was definitely for him, and he was definitely watching over us tonight. There were 7 Angel runs in the first inning, 13 runs total. Tyler would have celebrated his 28th birthday on July 13th. Hmm. 7 and 13, July 13th. Michael Pena finished the no-hitter by retiring Malik Smith, who was the 28th Mariner to bat. Tyler would have been 28. So again, it's numerology. People are seeing all these connections and thinking that it's all divinely inspired. The last time there was a combined no-hitter in the state of California, this is kind of a weird coincidence, but again, I think like all of these, I think they're all coincidences. The last time there was a combined no-hitter, like we saw Friday night in Anaheim, in the state of California, was the Orioles at Oakland, which happened on July 13th, 1991, the day that Tyler Skaggs was born.
Wow.
That is really wild.
Yeah, that's a crazy coincidence.
So you believe all of these things to just be random? None of these things connect for you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, there are lots of baseball games that have X number of runs in an inning that don't tie into anything. I mean, people are looking for a connection. They're like, ooh, he was born in July and they got 7 runs in that inning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people are looking for him. People are putting the pieces together. The pieces are there to be put together. I mean, the numbers all work. They all fit.
So, like, God forbid I were to pass away, do you think the next day they'd go, and it was a Monday show, and he started on a Monday?
Yeah, I think people look for connections.
He was hit by a Hostess truck. He loved Twinkies.
It's a good way to go.
So what do you, Allie, I feel like you have more spirituality than I do. What mm-hmm. do you take away from all of these connections?
She's basically Miss Cleo compared to you.
Well, everyone is compared to Bean. I think it's beautiful. I think everything you just said and all of those connections make people feel better. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
But do you think there's a divine hand that is involved in this?
Sure.
I mean, do you think the Lord Jesus above said, you know what? It's time for the Angels to have their 11th no-hitter because this young man we lost wore number 11 in high school.
I don't think it has to be Jesus. I think it can be whatever you want it to be. See, Bean, you don't have to believe it, but you also don't have to poo-poo those
I'm not
that
poo-pooing
do
it.
Find the connection.
Hail Satan.
I did not poo-poo it. I want you to notice that I understand that there are people who get comfort. And I'm sure, for instance, for his mother, I'm sure it was the, you know, she's had the worst month of her entire life. I'm sure it all felt good. And I'm sure she now feels like, you know, she's got an even stronger connection with her son.
Yeah.
But as a result of all this happening.
Bean, isn't there just, if you think, like, let's say you think just everything is wild and nothing has those kind of connotations, right? Couldn't it just be the way the world works? Like, wouldn't you look at it and be like, yeah, man, the world is weird and creates numbers. Like, couldn't you see that?
I think I agree with that. The world is weird and creates numbers. But, I mean, a home run goes 454 feet, and the guy they're honoring wore number 45. I mean, Mike Trout has hit lots of home runs in that range. You know what I mean? It's not unusual for him to have done that.
Except it was on his day.
Yes. And he was wearing everybody, all the Angels were wearing Tyler's number 45.
Number. Yeah. Well, that would be, seems coincidental.
Explain it to me. How does it work then?
Well, I don't believe, I'm not saying like Jesus was like, go 454 feet. Like, I don't think, that's how he speaks, by the way.
Stunned he speaks English.
He didn't move it along like angels in the outfield. What I think happened is just the way I think that coincidence can, there's free will, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get very deep here.
Okay.
But then there's also things we can't control. And I think that there are coincidences that happen that we're not making up out of nowhere. It's a great week for Tom DeLonge to come in, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And just that's the way every... Oh, that's not... To me, I go, oh, obviously it went 454 feet. Like, it just... That's how I see the world. My mom sort of is hippie like that, where, yeah, things work out.
So you just... You enjoy the symmetry of it.
Yes. And I think that the symmetry is part of our existence.
Yeah. Look... I'm not poo-pooing it, Allie.
You are, though.
If I'm not. I'm just saying I don't believe... I think that's it's a convenient bunch of coincidences that I am happy that there are people who take comfort from, but I do not think there is a divine or other intervention going on here. But it was a beautiful night at Angel Stadium, and Tyler Skaggs will be well-remembered and very well-loved.
Hallelujah.
Sure. Sure. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You should be investigated. You should be examined. You should be interviewed.
What?
Perhaps not just by police officers, but by mental health professionals.
Hey, what's up with Florida? On the program today, you guys. Also, great news, because it's Monday. We had a shocking conversation in the office last week when I found out that none of the Nimrods that I work with knew that Bruce Springsteen originally wrote and recorded the song Blinded by the Light.
It doesn't even sound like a Bruce song. I'm still on the fences if that's true.
Yeah. We looked it up. It checks out.
Yeah. But we haven't
but,
heard
I
it.
I mean, he had time to like change Wikipedia and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And record the song.
And record it and all
sure.
that.
Yeah. And backdated to 1973.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we started talking about all sorts of other realizations we had had when you found out a song that you loved was not the original. We thought that might be a fun music topic on the program today. We got a brand new TCL TV and soundbar to give away because they are our sponsors for the Comic-Con broadcast at the end of this week. How about what else? What am I missing? I know I'm missing something
stuff.
Else.
Stuff.
Well, obviously we've got stuff.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, and K-Rock Road Trip 2019 Destination Number 4. How about The Cure? You guys.
All right.
That's
you get
big.
To see him in Pasadena in August. And then again at Austin City Limits, we'll give you a chance to win that as well. That and so much. By the way, for those who are wondering where Spider Kevin is, he had to help Aunt May move today. But we're hoping he'll be back tomorrow. Allie, weekend is behind us.
Yeah.
I hear we missed a lot of good stuff. What's happening?
Well, a lot of people still went to see Spider-Man Far From Home, even though, you know, Kevin's whole situation with spiders. Mm. I would think it would keep a few away from seeing the movie.
So too.
Well,
out of respect for the man.
That's what I'm saying. It continues to swing past all the previous Spider-Man films. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the kids were so cut off.
They thought about it.
Yeah, he thought it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. $45.3 million for their second weekend total. Worldwide, the eighth Spidey movie and the second produced by Marvel Studios has grossed an astonishing $847 million. You guys,
that's so far. Yeah.
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I did. I normally go, well, you know, it was fine. This was a good, and it was, as we know, perfect time for me. It's about a little under 2 hours.
Right.
And as long as you don't go over two.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, taking second place was Toy Story 4, which is approaching $350 million domestically.
Not I would bad. Like to see it.
Well, you should see it. It is a delight. The alligator thriller Crawl grossed a decent $12 million opening for third place. That's against a reported $13 million budget. So you got to be happy.
Yeah.
Got to be happy about that.
I was going to go see that, but I already have plenty of alligators coming out of the water in my neighborhood.
Just cruising down the sidewalk.
So yeah. I don't really need to see that in the theater.
I wonder how well it did in New Orleans this weekend.
Well, everything was closed this weekend.
Oh.
Everything was closed.
Oh. So, way to ruin the joke, Bean.
Well, you couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't go to the movies. You
okay.
Go to the
no, we understand. There's a realism that ruined my joke.
Sorry. Yeah. What I'm saying is nobody saw it.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Right. No, I know. We've got that.
Because they have enough alligators.
Right.
Right. And everything was closed.
Well, okay.
Seems less important.
Stuber came in fourth with an $8 million opening, and rounding out the top five was Yesterday with $6.7 million. Yesterday, of course, a movie about a world without the Beatles, which brings me to my next story. Quite the night at Dodger Stadium Saturday night. Paul McCartney wrapped up his Freshen Up World Tour, and the remaining Beatles reunited when Paul brought up Ringo Starr for renditions of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and Helter Skelter.
I'm not going to lie. I watched it. I watched on YouTube. And how old is Ringo Starr? I mean, he's got to be around Paul's age, right? 75
right.
or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Just stepped into it like he...
Killing
like
it.
He's been playing all along.
Yeah.
It was just amazing to see him just get up there and just play Helter Skelter like they played it yesterday together.
Is he a good drummer?
He's a great
drummer. Yeah, because he kind of gets a little bit of a joke about him not being like being the least talented of the Beatles.
Well, because he wasn't as much of a songwriter as the other three.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But musically, he was the rock for that band. He really was. I know I've said this on the air before, and I've never seen it proven or disproven, but I heard one time, and I find this very difficult to believe, that in the 9 years or whatever it was that the Beatles recorded, they never had to do a second take because Ringo screwed up.
Wow.
That's how consistent he is.
That's how Nick Cannon was on The Masked Singer. Just letting you know, it's a similar kind of genius.
But you're being serious.
It is true that Nick Cannon never did a second take. And not because he didn't want to do it. It's because we never needed it.
He was nailing it.
It was insane.
That's incredible.
Anyway, just like Ringo Starr.
Okay. But I mean, look, even though there's only two of them, there's still some magic about seeing them playing together.
Absolutely.
And you could see how much they were enjoying each other. They both, shouted out that they loved one another and everything. And it was just
awesome.
Paul just kept looking back and just grinning, at seeing Ringo behind the kid. It was a cool moment.
By the way, Paul McCartney performed a 38-song set.
Nope. Bye.
Jensen left halfway through that. But if you think about it, a lot of those Beatles songs are not long.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
pull out
38
songs.
Pull
out all the wings. Pull out,
don't you dare.
Pull them
no.
off.
That's where I will put my foot down with you, young man.
I'm here
man.
For the hits.
You don't want to hear Live and Let Die and Band on the Run and songs like that? Come on, man.
I can hear Live and Let Die. That's it. The rest can die.
Okay.
You're ridiculous. It was a three-hour show, though, Jensen.
Yeah.
Definitely too long.
Yeah.
For you.
Nope.
He did also pay tribute to fellow Beatles George Harrison by doing the song Something.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
And to John Lennon singing Here Today.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't pick that either.
Also brought out Eagles guitarist Joe Walsh. Mm. I say Joe Walsh makes everything better.
I'm fine with him being there.
Yeah.
I mean, did he add time to the concert?
Oh, my God, I can't.
It's Paul McCartney. You take
as much
Paul McCartney as he's willing to give you.
I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'll give you 2 hours. 3 hours. Oh, my God.
I will say this. I got a all-capped text from a friend that was there that said, he brought out Rondo. And I knew instantly he meant Ringo. But then all I was picturing was Rondo walking out, like, with the tambourine. And I was like, yes!
Yeah.
Like, how to...
I re-signed!
Right? I re-signed, you guys. Just want to let you all know. Very weird. Very weird night. All right, some birthdays for you guys. Oh, the little dude from Big Little Lies, Ziggy, also plays young Sheldon, Ian Armitage, Taylor Kinney, Scott Foley, Jesse Ventura. There he is. Brian Austin Green, Terry O'Quinn, and someone we're going to talk about in the next What's Happening, because something happened to him yesterday he wasn't expecting. One of our favorites, Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias.
That's him.
Minutes away from great news here on the Kevin and Bean Show because it's Monday. Thanks so much for checking us out. Right now, though, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find
Once again, America's most penis-shaped state really comes through. This first story got quite a bit of attention, and it's kind of controversial. Did you guys hear about the woman who left a $5,000 tip on a $55 cafe bill?
No.
She goes into a restaurant in Clearwater, Florida, and she starts talking to the waitress who has a is having a very bad week because she has just had to put her dog down. And the diner took pity on her and thought, I'm going to cheer her up and leave a $5,000 tip on the $55 bill. The waitress was elated, as you can imagine. Doesn't bring back her puppy, but it's nice. The restaurant pays her out. But then the plot thickens. It turns out that the diner, Serena Wolf, did it to get back at her boyfriend whose credit card she was using because he would not buy her a plane ticket to come back home to Buffalo, New York. She was in Florida. She was asking him to buy a plane ticket for her, and he wouldn't do it. So she thought, hey, I'm going to get back at him by giving away $5,000 on his credit card.
Oh, no.
So the boyfriend notified his credit card company the next day, said that it was a fraudulent charge. So he's contesting it. But what happens to the $5,000 tip? The police say it's up to the waitress and the restaurant to work that out. It is not a criminal matter.
Oh, so you're saying because the restaurant had paid it out,
yes,
is she going to give it back?
Should she give it back? Have to give it back?
There's other gigs. There's probably a Chili's in town.
Like she should just leave with the $5,000, burn that bridge, and just start someplace else.
Yeah, pick up a new gig.
I feel like once she's alerted that it was not an authorized charge.
Can't hear you. Have headphones in and just get out. Yeah.
Here's the headline: Florida iguana hunter mistakenly shoots the pool boy. Now again, this is why we do What's Up with Florida. Here's a woman on the news describing what happened.
Homeowner Elin Bryan says it started last Friday when workers from a pool company were doing maintenance in her patio area.
And I came out to see what they were doing, and I heard him scream on the top of his lungs, ow, and he had blood coming out of his leg, and he was shot by the hunter.
Paramedics in the Boca Raton Police Department responded. Police say someone hired to shoot and kill iguanas in the neighborhood hit the pool worker instead with a pellet gun.
We have the iguanas everywhere. If neighbors are going to be like the Wild West and shoot at everything, someone's going to get killed.
And that's exactly what it is. It's like the Wild West down there. They're paying bounty hunters to kill iguanas because they are overrunning the state.
How big are iguanas that you're shooting them?
Yes, I know, right? And maybe don't accidentally shoot the pool boy. Jensen Beach is a real place, Jensen. Did you know that?
No.
Never heard of it?
I'm packing my bags.
Police are in search of a man they're calling the modern-day Hamburglar, who is believed to have broken into a Wendy's, turned on the stove, cooked himself a burger, and then walked out with the safe. How about that? At the Wendy's on Jensen Beach Boulevard, which is where you should live.
Yeah.
Police say a man used a brick to smash in a door, then turned on the grill to cook a meal before leaving with a safe. He's described as being in his mid-30s, about 6 feet tall, with a distinctive tattoo on his upper left arm. Hey, that sounds like me! I mean, if you're breaking into a Wendy's, why not help yourself to some delicious food?
Yeah, while there.
While you're there, right? Mm-hmm. I mentioned the iguanas. Alligators are also a problem in Florida, as you know, and it seems like every time we do this feature, there's another story. This one involves a 911 call.
Okay, caller, tell me exactly what happened.
Yes, one of my employees on inspection at the mine here at Mosaic found a body floating in one of our hydraulic dishes with a gator a hold of it.
Oh.
Did he give you a description of the body?
No, I think he just freaked out.
No, I understand.
That's my favorite question ever from a 911 operator. Hey, we want to make sure we find the right body that has a gator a hold of it. Is there a description? What's this guy looking like?
He's wearing like a black shirt, jeans. He's got on sneakers, but he's also in the mouth of an alligator.
That might be the easiest way to identify him.
I mean, come on. Turns out it was 45-year-old Michael Ford II. By the way, they did do a necropsy of the alligator and found his hand and foot inside the gator's stomach. A man who drew the anger of animal rights advocates. Well, this is a karma story, you guys. A couple of months ago, Joseph Carraro, 48, was at the zoo in Orlando with his daughter. And I guess he was trying to impress her or something, but he went and picked up one of the most popular flamingos there at the zoo named Pinky.
works as an animal ambassador there. Very, very popular, young Pinky was. He says he didn't try to do it on purpose. He was just trying to show off to his daughter, but somehow he injured the bird, broke its leg, and it had to be euthanized. So as you can imagine, people were outraged.
Yeah.
He was, understandably and rightfully so, arrested and was scheduled to go to trial on an animal cruelty charge. However, that won't be happening because he was just hit and killed by a pickup truck while crossing a busy road near the home, his home in Orlando. I mean, again, karma, right?
Well, I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's a little hard to celebrate.
I know. Sure. I mean, that dude died, but he also killed Pinky. Justice for Pinky, you guys.
Was the pickup truck pink?
Oh, that would have been the best.
That'd be huge.
That would have been the best. And finally, this news report just says it all about the dumbasses in Florida. Enjoy.
Also breaking at 11, a convicted Charlotte County felon accidentally shot himself with a stolen gun, and that led police right to him. The Sarasota Sheriff's Office arrested this poor Charlotte man, Justin Richardson. Deputies showed up to Green Street on Inglewood after a shooting report. They got there and found Richardson was shot in the stomach. Detectives say he was trying to disassemble the handgun when it went off. He was arrested.
So he's a felon. He's not supposed to have a gun. He steals a gun and then ends up shooting himself in the stomach with said gun.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
Heading right back to jail. That's Citizen of the Year in Florida, right?
Jeez.
And this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Yeah, I'm going to need y'all to change the segment from What's Happening to Spill the Tea. We need to live up to slang man standards.
Okay. World famous K-Rock here on a Monday morning with Kevin and Bean. Allie, time to spill the tea.
Here's the thing. If you follow our friend Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias, amazing comedian, great actor, just all around good dude. If you follow him on social media, you will know that there has been a big lead up to midnight last night or midnight today, I guess, however you say it. Because he was releasing Funko Fluffy, his Funko Pop. Huge, right?
Big
what a
deal.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Well, it was such a big deal that FluffyGuy.com immediately crashed.
Oh.
Immediately crashed. And people not thrilled. One person tweeted him that, "I can't believe you're shocked that your site crashed. Between your fans, Funko collectors, and bots, flippers, your site had no chance." And he said, "I'm surprised because I hired a major company to come in to host the site, but the rush was still bigger than I anticipated. My site got hit like it was Prime Day." So, as of now, no Fluffy Funko Pops have been released. So they're working on getting the site up and running again, and I'm sure once that happens, he will alert his fans to the sale actually happening. But
that's sad.
I mean,
Danielle signs those maybe exclusively now. Like, that's all people bring up to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Her Funkos.
Yeah. That's like, it seems like that's the entire culture.
Wow.
Yeah. Love that. Fluffy will be joining us, by the way, in San Diego at Comic-Con.
We better bring a Funko for you guys.
Yeah, I hope so.
You guys can flip them, sell them on eBay.
Well, I think it would be a nice gift from our friend Gabriel.
Whatever. He'll probably sign it, get more. eBay winner.
Hang on to it.
Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias. Just ask him to sign it that way.
Wow.
Two highest bidder.
You're really not about the nice gifts.
That's sad.
That is sad. You guys, R. Kelly, good Lord with that man.
Canceled.
Right? Beyond canceled. But here's the thing. It took him a while, but the reason this is all going down now, where he was arrested on a 13-count indictment that includes sex crimes, obstruction of justice, and a New York federal indictment was also unsealed on Friday that charges him with racketeering and sex-related crimes. The reason this is all happening again is because members of his inner circle gave investigators a treasure trove of videos allegedly him having sex with underage girls. The 20 tapes allegedly feature multiple underage victims. So those once enablers have now flipped on him and they are ready to testify.
Good. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. So that is a very, very good thing.
He's going to go to jail, you guys.
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
After getting away with it for 30 years.
Finally.
I will say, as someone who has followed this case for over a decade, I mean, when I did Summer Jam, when I performed at Summer Jam, mm-hmm. I wore a shirt that said, "Don't on Free R. Kelly. That was 2001. Like, I've hated this man for a long time. But a story that has kind of circled this for a very long time is that many of his prisoners have a suicide pact.
Yeah.
Like, and I haven't heard much about it in the news lately.
They're actually talked about it yesterday.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So, like, is this still a thing that was possible?
One of the parents, sets of parents, were really afraid because they have not heard from one of the two girls, like the two that are known as his girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they were saying that they have a suicide pact. If they feel that he is not getting out,
they just kill themselves.
They will kill themselves.
Yeah, that was a thing a long time ago, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if
so
he gets arrested.
It's a cult.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Yikes is all I have to say about that.
Yep.
And another yikes. Oh, Scarlett Johansson. Not doing great. During an interview with As If magazine, which is that like the Clueless magazine? Because all of this now makes sense. She spoke out against politically correct casting. Here is what the article said. You know, as an actor, I should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal because that's my job and the requirements of the job. I feel like it's a trend in my business and it needs to happen for various social reasons. Yet there are times it does get uncomfortable when it affects the art because I feel art should be free of restrictions.
I say, hold up, wait a minute.
And this, of course, coming off the heels of people thinking she shouldn't have been taking the lead role in Ghost in the Shell, should have gone to an Asian actor. She dropped out of the film Rub and Tug after she faced backlash for taking a role as a transgender man. But she now says, yeah, that was clickbait. That was taken wildly out of context. She's now clarifying her comments. Here's her exact quote that she says. She says, the question I was answering in my conversation with the contemporary artist David Sell was about the confrontation between political correctness and art. I personally feel that in an ideal world, any actor should be able to play anybody, and art in all forms should be immune to political correctness. She then does go on to say, I recognize that in reality, there is a widespread discrepancy amongst my industry that favors Caucasian cisgendered actors, and that not every actor has been given the same opportunities that I have been privileged to. So
that was quite a true statement. That was, it didn't speak at all like a human being.
No, it was definitely something written out that she said, this is what I meant to say, but didn't really come across that way.
All I know from the weekend is that Scarlett Johansson wants to play a tree. That was my only takeaway.
A lot of tweets showing just random trees and being like, you guys, I met Scarlett Johansson. That made me laugh. But
do you think, because I've thought about this a lot lately, like Down syndrome roles, like that are played by, like, for example, this is Rosie O'Donnell playing a Down syndrome character.
Do you have chicken fingers?
Asking, do you have chicken fingers?
And Sean Penn.
And Sean Penn.
Had that role.
Yeah, many people. Does that, would that never happen now?
Yes, it would never happen now.
So what do we, are we thinking that if there's a Down syndrome character in your movie that you're going to have a Down syndrome person in it?
Yes, I think so.
Do you have chicken fingers?
I mean, I think that is where we are headed, and I don't know that it's a bad thing.
No, I don't think it is either. I guess I'm excited to see it. I guess I want to see it in movies.
Right.
Yeah. It hasn't happened.
So, Allie, what do you think? Do you think she stepped in it, or what do you think with Scarlett?
I think she did an interview in As If magazine.
That was the problem.
Which also was just weird. None of this
risk
real.
Versus reward there is probably not so good.
I feel, here's the thing with Scarlett Johansson. I just feel like after not one, but two things that you received a ton of backlash to.
Three. Did you add Woody Allen?
No, but that doesn't really have to do with
we'll
this aspect.
Yeah.
No, well, that's totally different.
Okay.
That's not about taking roles away from
sure,
people.
Sure, sure.
So I will say, if I had been faced with not one, but two instances where people were not thrilled with me, I would probably have a statement that couldn't be misconstrued or misread.
Right. Something like this?
Do you have chicken fingers?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
She wasn't having any of these problems when I was dating her, by the way.
I feel like
when we went to that movie premiere, we were
you didn't you
very
didn't go.
Close.
You bid on it.
Well, I won
you
the
spent
auction,
thousands
so.
And
clearly.
You wound up not going.
Oh, that wasn't my memory of that
no,
at all. Okay, you're
no.
probably right.
Very
you're
different,
right.
very different. So, yeah, we'll be discussing more of this later. But for now, happy birthday, Gabriel Iglesias. We really hope your birthday gets a little better. You get fluffy.com back in order. Terry O'Quinn, Brian Austin Green, Jesse Ventura.
Ooh, you bet I got something to say. You check it out. Woo, the most beautiful body in professional wrestling. And I got something to talk about. Everywhere I've been going throughout the country, I've been touring with Fleetwood Mac.
What?
I've been partying with REO Speedwagon. Uh-huh. I've even arm wrestled the Werewolf of London, Warren Zevon.
Uh-huh.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today. And you think about that, chump.
Wow.
A weird life.
I don't think he did any of that, you guys.
This year?
What the heck?
Warren Zevon's been dead like 50 years.
I mean, did he arm wrestle him?
Oof.
TCL, you guys, is America's fastest growing TV brand, and they are sponsoring us in San Diego for this year's Comic-Con. Live from the Whale's Vagina this coming Thursday and Friday, we'll give you a chance to win a brand new TCL TV and soundbar next hour here on K-Rock. You want to stick around for that. Also, Allie, you're going to have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood screening tickets as well.
Yeah. I want to see that.
One of the most anticipated films of the year. So good stuff coming up. First, though, Monday morning means great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Yes, and is that a bop? I think that's a bop.
I'm going to have to argue against a bop, but I am going to say it's kind of a jam.
Is it bop adjacent?
Oh, it's age. Yeah, it's definitely adjacent.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Allie, you get to go up first today to make our Mondays.
All right. Here's the thing. High school graduation, sometimes they're long, they're tedious, they're not a real fun thing. Mm-hmm. But at his high school graduation, Jack Higgins approached the stage to receive his diploma with his fingers in his ears to block what he thought would be applause and cheers. But instead, he was met by silence. And a lot of people hearing that would be like, oh, what happened to Jack? Well, Jack is a familiar face in the cafeteria, library, hallways, and classrooms of Carmel High School, and he's well known there. But he also has a severe form of autism and is super sensitive to noise. And after 8 years in the school's program for students with cognitive learning or behavioral challenges, he was ready to graduate on June 20th. However, a lot of concerns that it was going to be overwhelming, not only sitting there for such a long period of time, but then when people erupt in cheers as you walk across the stage, that's basically his kryptonite. So his principal, Lou Royolo, had an idea that everyone would sit in silence as he walks across the stage, knowing that it was an important moment for him and his family because he reached a milestone of such great importance. He wanted his family to feel like every other parent there, that they could sit and enjoy that and watch their son's dreams become a reality. So he thought, okay, here's what we're going to do. Right beforehand, we're going to talk to the students and say we want everybody to remain quiet. But he also realized, you know, students are unpredictable. Sometimes kids can be a-holes.
Sure.
We're not really sure what's going to happen. But he also said, you often have to give people the opportunity to rise to an occasion. I truly believe people have a kind, compassionate soul, and they want to help. And this was one of those occasions. So before he was called to the stage, he asked everyone just to do a really quiet golf clap. But instead, he received a silent standing ovation. And that was not something that was planned or anything. The students took that upon themselves to be completely silent, but also to stand. So he would know that they were doing that to say, listen, we appreciate you. And here's what the principal said. He said, the students were amazing. They're a class act and superseded expectations. For example, them rising to their feet after Jack received his diploma was all them. It was not pre-planned, and no one told them to act like that. They felt compelled to show their support in that way. They made that amazing, compassionate gesture on their own. So,
did you cry a little bit, Ellen?
I did, because it's just
silently, though, right?
Silently, yeah. It's beautiful to see people come together for one of their own at that school, who they knew that this would be how he could appreciate the moment the best. And they made that happen for him. So,
I mean, teenagers are usually dicks, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
So that's very cool.
I love
all
this.
All right, I will allow it.
I haven't said that's my great news. Hmm.
I will still allow it.
Okay.
It doesn't count if she doesn't say it.
No. That's true.
Judson. You guys, if you had lost a pet or went missing, how long do you think you would keep the search up?
I don't think I would ever stop looking.
Yeah.
Really?
Honestly.
Like, actively?
I mean, every time I was out, I would certainly be on alert. Would I go out every single night and drive the neighborhood hour after hour? Probably at some point you do stop with that. But mm-hmm. you are hopeful that eventually you're going to just somehow see that dog or cat or whatever's missing again. Yeah,
I did have a cat leave, just mm-hmm. disappear. And I think I went 3 months. Because then, yeah. I live near coyotes. It was like, I don't want to. And also, it's so taxing. Because people yes. will call, put up a sign. You'll get the weirdos calling
absolutely.
All day long. Yeah. And then you'll end up in the middle of Tarzana yelling, you know, your cat's name. And you're like, this guy's crazy. He's never seen my cat. Anyway.
I just wanted to meet you.
I know. One Australian man is making everyone extend that timetable, though. Now I'm starting to rethink my thoughts. When his dog, after almost 2 years of a search, was found alive and well. Jake Hennessy was devastated around Christmas 2017, which even sounds far away, when his home in Western Australia was broken into by burglars, leaving a door open, and as a result, his puppy ran out.
Oh.
That's also the worst way to lose your dog.
Yeah.
Harley is
now, the worst way to lose your job is dog is having it stolen. Like
that's true.
That British soccer player the other day, who miraculously the dog was returned. But yeah, if somebody steals your dog, that's the worst, because you have no idea what their intentions are.
Pretty sure there's a train passing, if anyone hears that weird sound here going on. Harley is a Mastiff Sharpei mix, and beyond anything that was taken from him that day, Jake says this hurt the most. So he tirelessly checked his area and online through Facebook in a group he called Please Help Return My Baby to Me.
Oh,
it's a very sweet Facebook group name. Then 19 months later, Harley was found roaming the streets trying to find food almost 175 miles away.
What?
Whoa!
It would have taken a car 3 hours to get there.
But he had a bus pass, right?
Well, clearly. Or he took a little jet. A volunteer picked the dog up, and thanks to the dog's chip, not our chip, after being looked at by a vet this past weekend, he will be reunited with Jake, who told the local paper, I feel like I've won the lotto. I was going to buy a ticket tonight, but now I don't need to.
Aww.
Any word on how they think the dog traveled such a distance?
They don't know yet. They haven't talked to him. And that's my great news.
Stupid.
My great news story is just a question of the right guy being in the right place at the right time. It was a very happy event for Mr. Andrea Bendetto. He is Italian. He recently got married, and he and his husband and their other friends were celebrating on an Italian beach. They were floating in an inflatable swan when he fell into the water and became unable to move his limbs due to a medical condition. Wish I had more information about that, but essentially he's going to sink like a stone, right? Mm. He can't swim with what's going on with him medically. A strong wind blew the swan away. His husband did everything he could to try to keep his partner's head above water as he and his friends cried for help. Here's why this is great news. Who happens to be on the beach within earshot of this but former Olympic and World Championship freestyle swimmer Filippo Magnini, who was there on the
Not
beach.
Not the great Magnini.
Yes, the great Magnini, who, by the way, won a bronze medal in the 2004 Olympic Games in Athens, was a world champion in the 100-meter freestyle in 2005 and 2007. He has since retired, but apparently still has the swimming chops, because like Superman, he dives into the water, swims up to the guy, who at this point, by the way, had swallowed water, was having trouble even breathing, and was able to swim with him back to shore and help perform CPR on him to get him back in the pink.
Wow.
What are the chances that you are drowning on the beach in your honeymoon and a freaking Olympic swimmer is the guy who dives in to rescue you?
Thank God.
Thank God indeed.
It's
right
crazy.
Man, right place, right time. And that's my... All week long on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving away tickets to the Pasadena Daydream Festival featuring The Cure at the Rose Bowl August 31st, and you're qualified to see them again in Austin City Limits in October with round-trip airfare, three-night hotel stay, and more. It's road trip number 4. Here for the K-Rock. It's destination number 4, actually, of K-Rock Road Trip 2019. So your chance to win is coming up. All right, Allie, Jensen, you guys were both there in the meeting.
We were.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, I was very disappointed.
I mean, I've never heard such disgust in your voice.
I'm not mad, guys. I'm just disappointed.
Mm. Yeah.
Dave, our producer. Hey, Dave. Pitching as he does. He's pitching guests for us upcoming on the Kevin and Bean Show. And he said, hey, guys, we have a chance to talk to Sevraz Manzoor, a name none of us knew. He is the guy who the movie that's coming out in a couple of months called Blinded by the Light is based on. He is a British Pakistani Muslim living in London whose life changed when he discovered the music of Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And how did it happen, Allie? Was it you who asked why is the movie called Blinded by the Light?
Yeah,
is that what happened?
Then why is it called Blinded by the Light?
Right. If it's about, if the guy loves Bruce Springsteen, why didn't they use a Bruce Springsteen song?
That's exactly my point.
Right. So you were very confused by
that.
And I said, Blinded by the Light is a Bruce Springsteen song.
To which everyone in the room started going, no, the one about being wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
I in the corner was like, no, the one that's like, blinded by the light. Like, we're singing it, trying to get him to our side.
Right. So I'm like, that's a Bruce Springsteen song. And you guys are like, there's no way. Look, we know the song. Here's the song that you guys were all thinking about.
Mm-hmm. She was blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light.
By the way, it is a deuce, Allie just said.
I don't think so.
So,
agree to disagree.
In your mind, you're trying to figure out what the hell that has to do with the boss,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, why would that be
so
Bruce
Springsteen? Guys, I say it's a very famous Bruce Springsteen song. I mean, it was on his first album, Greetings from Asbury Park. Now, granted, this is all before you were born. I understand that. But, I mean, he's a pretty popular artist that many people have gone back and picked up his early work. You know what I mean? That's his song. He wrote that song.
So we were like, well, yeah, he wrote it, but he's not the one that did it. We were not letting
Never happened.
You were fighting me on it.
Yes.
So I think Christine brings it up on YouTube or something like that. And sure enough, for the first time ever, you guys hear a little bit of this, the original.
Yeah, she was blinded by.
Say this to you guys, same song.
I've never heard it
in my life. And no. I say beat it, Bruce. That version sucks.
Also, if you're going to make a movie about how Bruce Springsteen inspired you, pick a song we all know, dude.
Thank you.
Like,
right?
That would be like making a Beatles song and being like, well, a movie about their music. Like, oh, it's called Hey Bulldog.
Like, right, what? Instead of Yesterday.
That
right.
That's a song. See, you didn't even know.
Hey Bulldog's a great song.
Oh, okay. This guy.
So that's what got us on the topic, and I think this is going to be really, I think it's going to be really fun because we love doing music topics on this show. What's the song that you were shocked to find out was a cover song? Mm-hmm. Like, you always knew and loved that song, and then somebody blew your mind when they told you, that's not the original. You got to hear the original. Another one that came up in the meeting we were talking about. Give me a little Britney Spears with one of her hits from a few years ago. Would you please, Chip?
Singing, I love rock and roll. So put another dime in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll. So come and take the time and dance with me.
All right, there were people when that song came out who were mortified that there were kids who thought that was a Britney Spears original because they all grew up with this version by Joan Jett.
Singing.
What the Joan Jett heads don't know is that her version was a cover song, too.
What?
A British band called The Arrows did the original version of that song, and it sounds a little something like this. And there are a lot of people who are finding out right now that Joan Jett's version is not the original.
Yeah.
I think we can't all agree the Britney version is easily the worst, right?
Oh, 100%.
It's up there with Tiffany's version of I Saw Her Standing There. So there's some things that should never be covered.
Yeah. I Saw Her Standing There. Tiffany did I Saw Her Standing There?
I Think We're Alone Now.
I Think We're Alone Now is her hit.
That was her number one song, but one of her top 20 hits was she called it I Saw
this
Him
guy.
Standing There. And it was terrible. It was so bad. So I think what we're talking about here is you found out that the song you loved was a cover song. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you coming up next here on the World Famous K-Rock. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You were stunned to find out a song you loved was a cover. And we are going to start with Natalie, Fountain Valley, up first in this segment on Line 5. Hey, Natalie.
Hi.
What was the song that you thought you knew?
The I Will Always Love You from Whitney Houston was written by Dolly Parton.
Let's hear a little bit of Whitney first.
And I will always love you.
I mean, I will say that there are like times that where somebody just owns a song and it doesn't matter if anyone's ever recorded it before. But yeah, you're right. Dolly Parton did the original version and hers went like this.
And
what did you think, Natalie, when you found out? Were you gobsmacked?
Yes, I was watching Drunk
Godsmacked
History.
Gobsmacked did this song?
Gobsmacked.
Play Gobsmacked. I would rather hear that.
I'm sorry. You were watching Drunk History, Natalie?
Yeah, they did a whole show about it. And it was about Dolly Parton. And I was watching. I couldn't believe it.
There you go. All
See,
right.
So many people learn from Drunk History. Thank
That's
you,
right.
Derek
right.
Waters.
That's where I go for all my history. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. While we're talking about cover songs, before we get back to your calls, here's one a lot of people love, no doubt. They thought, oh, I can't believe they wrote such a great song. Also a cover of a talk song. Just a coincidence, there's a cover song for you. We're talking about cover songs here on the world-famous K-Rock. Monday morning, Kevin and Bean. The kids in the office found out that Blinded by the Light was a Bruce Springsteen song with that movie coming out and all the press it's getting. And then we started talking about other songs that we found out are cover songs that we didn't know. Jensen, you had one.
Well, first, during the break, Bean was doing that thing again where he knows every cover song that's ever existed.
Right.
It's incredible. And one of them that he helped me with is Girls Just Want to Have Fun is not a Cyndi Lauper original.
Let's hear some Cyndi Lauper. That's the song we all know and love, right?
Yeah, and I'm smart enough to know it's not a Miley Cyrus song who also covered it.
Right.
But I could have swore that's an original song.
And then you found out that a young man named Robert Hazard, who used to be in the band The Hooters, wrote and recorded the original version that sounded like this. I'm going to say Cyndi Lauper did him a huge favor. By recording her version.
That song sounded spooky.
All right, let's get right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I want to start with Lily. She's in Fullerton, kind enough to give us a call. Lily, thanks for listening. What's your song that you were surprised to find out was a cover?
I didn't know Boys in the Hood by Dynamite Hack was not by Dynamite Hack.
Lily.
But Lily, the reason that song exists is because it's funny for a bunch of white kids to do a sarcastic kind of straight version of a rap song.
Well, I'm white, if you can't tell by me.
Maybe
not
Lily
that,
white.
And my boyfriend, he knows NWA very well. And he was like, babe, what are you talking about? When it was playing on K-Rock. And I was like, no, I grew up with this song. Like, this is an original. Mm. This isn't a cover.
The boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking to trash, we'll pull your car.
You must have been so mortified. Did you guys break up? Are you okay?
No, he's just shaking his head at me right now. He's terrified.
Very good call. Thank you, Lily. We appreciate it. Let's move on to Lauren, line 6. She's in North Hollywood up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lauren.
Good morning.
You know what we're talking about. What's the version that everybody knows that you thought was the original?
So I thought that the version of Mad World from Donnie Darko was the original song.
Oh, right, Gary
Jules.
Let's
hear some of that.
When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
I mean, you can't get any better than that, right?
No, it's very good.
I know. I love that song.
Pretty amazing. And then give me the light bulb moment where you found out that it wasn't his song.
Well, I was sitting at my friend's house, and a version came on by Tears of Fears, and I said, wow, this is a really cool cover of this song.
And don't they now, if I'm remembering correctly from when they played Acoustic Christmas a couple years ago, don't they kind of do the Donnie Darko version
Absolutely.
Now as their version?
Yep, they do like a more dramatic slowdown Donnie Darko, Gary Jewell's version.
Yeah, that was like the B-52's version.
It's very poppy.
It's a mad world.
Lauren, we appreciate your listening. Thanks for the call. All right, we got to make sure to get this one in as we get more calls in at 1-800-520-1067. While we're talking about classic, all-time great K-Rock songs, and every time we do like a Firecracker 500 or something like that, this always comes in very near the top because you can't get any better than Soft Cell and their song Tainted Love. We all remember it well.
Once I ran to you, now I'll run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all a boy could give you.
I mean, take my we all know that's a Soft Cell song, right?
Until
you go back to the 1960s and hear Northern soul singer Gloria Jones doing the original.
Yes, I ran to you.
Soft Cell some credit for finding that. And
that's a bop, though. That original is great.
They're both good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do a couple more. Wow, we're going to run out of time. We have so many good ones coming in. Let's go to Gary. He's on line 8, please. He's in Maywood. Gary, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
You heard a song and you swore it was the original. What was the one you thought of?
Well, Jimi Hendrix, of course, did All Along the Watchtower. Fabulous, you know, all-time rock, great rock.
None were level on the mind. Nobody of it is worth.
And I think probably for a lot of KLOS listeners, that's the version they know and love, right?
Yeah, of course. But strangely enough, and I have no idea if you guys could even find it, Bob Dylan. Not nearly as great as Jimmy Hendrix.
We lost you, but hit it, Steve.
None of them along the line. Nobody of it is worth.
By the way, Bob Dylan is another perfect example of a guy who took the arrangement that became so much more famous thanks to Jimi Hendrix and started doing that version in concert. So same kind of deal. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Allie, you were kidding about the Wild Horses conversation, right?
No. And I want to hear who she thinks is the originator of it.
Oh, do we have a call on it?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to Cynthia West Covina. She's up next on K-Rock. Hey, Cynthia.
Hi.
Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time here. You were calling about Wild Horses. What's your history?
Yeah. So a couple years ago, I was at a dive bar. I always knew Wild Horses to be sung by the Sundays. And
sure,
I was at
great,
a dive
great
bar.
Version.
Right. And someone played the Rolling Stones version. And I was like, who the hell's covering the Sundays? And, you know, a few people laughed at me. And they were like, no, these people are the ones that originally sang the song. Unless there's someone else before that. But all I know is it's the Rolling Stones.
It's a Rolling Stones song. Although I will tell you, there is something interesting. It's just kind of a footnote on that. Is that the first version that was actually released, although the Stones mm-hmm. wrote it and recorded it,
mm-hmm.
was by Graham Parsons and the Flying Burrito Brothers. They actually released their version before the Stones, but that's only because Graham Parsons was friends with the Stones and heard their version of
this
it. And
they gave permission
for them to cover it. They're all. By the way, that's a great song, no matter who does it.
I prefer Susan Boyle.
Susan Boyle, obviously the definitive version of Wild Horses.
Sure.
Cynthia, thanks for the call. This was fun. Maybe we'll. It's very relaxing, isn't it? Very relaxing.
Sure.
It's not a get up and go.
Mm-mm.
No.
But it does ease you into the day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At least. All right, 7:54, Allie's here with another look at what's happening on a Monday. Don't forget, brand new TCL TV and soundbar for you. You can win in about 20 minutes. And what's up with Florida coming up, too?
What's going on?
You guys heard about this app called The Pattern?
No.
I only know about it because of Channing Tatum.
Okay, well, it's an app where it's basically a personality app. You put in your birth date and your exact time that you were born, and it apparently will be used to gain some insight about various sides of your personality and how you can now understand those dynamics and help you navigate the world.
Because astrology is real, right?
Essentially, that's okay. What it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Astrology plus numerology, all of that because of the numbers of the exact times, that type of thing.
Yeah, real science.
Well, Channing Tatum, he lost his mind. He sent out a pretty bizarre video on Twitter about the pattern. I'm just going to have him explain it.
I need some answers, okay? Because I don't know if I'm late to this or if I'm early to this, but what is this pattern? It's an app. I just downloaded it called The Pattern, and it asked me to put in my birth date and my time of birth. By the way, how are you supposed to know your time of birth? I hope anyone that does this has a parent that loves them and is half responsible, because I don't even know how I would have figured that out. Anyways, how do you know what you know about me, Pattern? People of The Pattern, people that use The Pattern, you need to DM me right now and tell me how you know this stuff. I don't even know if I want to know this stuff. I don't even know if I want to know. I don't know if anybody should know this stuff. I was just in therapy yesterday. Yeah, I'm in therapy. Whatever, everybody should be in therapy. And I just get a notification on my phone this morning. Boop, pops up. And using the exact words that we were using in therapy. Is the phone listening? Are you listening through the phone, Pattern? AI, the algorithm that is The Pattern, are you listening through my phone and then just regurgitating the stuff that I'm afraid of and the stuff? You know what? Pattern people, you should just call me. That's what should happen right now. You should just DM me. If you know so much, you know how to get in touch with me now, don't you? So just do that. Just, I need answers.
Is he being serious, or is he really freaked out here?
I think he's a little bit freaked out.
When I first heard it, I go, is he an owner in the app? But I think it's very genuine.
I think it's completely genuine, and I think he also wants to know if his phone is listening to him, and I can answer that. Yes. Yes, it is. Well, it is definitely listening.
All along.
Yeah.
But wow, poor Channing. He went through a lot. That was a real roller coaster for him.
He got texts with actual verbiage from therapy sessions.
That's what he's saying.
Sent back to him.
Yeah.
That is horrifying.
Yeah, that I don't like.
You don't, guys, if they're listening in, they're listening to everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't there a story recently that you said that they're like, we can't stop sexual assaults in your house, but we are listening in your house? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Crazy.
And Allie, you will not have a ring, right? You will not have a Roomba.
Well, that's just rude that you bring that up.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not dating anyone.
The temperature app.
I think I'm lovable. But
no ring, no Roomba, no Alexa,
mm-mm,
no
mm-mm.
Siri. You don't want
no.
any of that.
Get out of my TV is already listening to me.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting rid of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all insane.
Yeah, she has to keep her friend.
I mean,
she loves TV.
I love the television.
She does.
It's all of our friends.
Do we need to try The Pattern?
No, I will.
I'll put it on my phone.
Do you know how much info though that sells of you and all that?
I've given up everything. I'm in that thing. When you get to the airport and you what is it called? Clear?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they have my iris and my fingerprint. I'm done. There's nothing I could do.
Okay.
I've already given up.
Well,
my social security number is 843-67-9614. It doesn't matter at this point.
With The Pattern is it crashed after he put that video up, and people were like, wait, what? Did he crash The Pattern? Because so many people wanted to try it out. So, all right, we'll have Jensen try it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, guarantee your mother knows the exact time you were born.
Yes.
I know the exact time.
How about this? She calls me every year at that time. My birthday, yeah.
Oh, please tell me it's like 2:43 a.m.
No, it's like 8:15 or something.
Okay. Now, I have a question about that, and I know we don't have time to get into it. Maybe we need to carve out some time another day. When you are putting in the time of your birth, like in my, like, does the time zone matter, or is it just local time?
No. The time zone at which you were born at matters.
Okay.
So because if it's 8 o'clock in L.A., you were born at 8 o'clock.
Okay, gotcha.
That is a weird question to ask.
No, it's not, because if I were filling it out, I mean, like, I currently am sitting 6 hours away from the time zone that I was born in. If I were filling it out, would I adjust for time zone, I guess is what I'm saying.
So you're asking, where you live, does it change the time you were born?
And you put it
that's what you're,
good one,
that's what you're asking.
When you put it that way.
You want another run at it? Or
I withdraw.
You good?
Is that a moment with?
I think it might be.
It's like the longest one in history.
Jeez,
what's going on?
So you good? You don't have any more questions?
I think I'm done.
Okay.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
All right, some birthdays for you. Taylor Kinney, Scott Foley, Jesse Ventura, Brian Austin Green, Terry O'Quinn.
That was him.
Sorry, Jesse, I didn't give you enough time to make that noise. Okay. And Gabriel Iglesias, happy birthday.
This is Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock. This Wednesday, we have Tom DeLonge coming in studio to talk to us, which is a big deal because recently we've been really kind of ruminating on aliens and how much they're in the news. So he will definitely have some expert talk for us. But in the meanwhile, it's a big weekend in sports.
Your mileage may vary on how much you take away from this story, but there were a lot of people. Well, first of all, it was a very emotional night at Angel Stadium on Friday night because it was their first home game since the road trip where they lost one of their pitching aces, 27-year-old Tyler Skaggs, which, by the way, they're saying now we won't know why he died until October. I don't know why it's taking so long, but they ruled out foul play and they ruled out suicide, according to press reports. So what happened to 27-year-old Tyler Skaggs? We don't know. But it was incredibly emotional, you know, not just for the fans and obviously family and friends, but his teammates, right? So their first home game back after they lost Tyler, they decided they were going to go all out with a tribute appropriately. They had a mural of him in the right center field. His mom, who, by the way, was, a pretty good softball player in her day, was kind of the one who, kind of helped guide him through Little League and was his coach, essentially. Mm-hmm. Debbie, she threw out a very emotional ceremonial first pitch, which was a perfect strike, by the way. And then the Angels had a no-hitter. They won 13-0, unfortunately, over the Seattle Mariners. Here's where people are starting to put the pieces together and go, this is divine intervention. And this is where I'm out, but some people will find these numbers interesting. It was the 11th no-hitter in Angels history. Tyler wore number 11 at Santa Monica High School. Okay, maybe that's a stretch. Mike Trout hit a two-run homer in the first inning that went 454 feet. And, of course, Tyler Skaggs' number was 45. So 45 frontwards, 45 backwards. People said there was some significance to that. I don't think so. I just think it was another bomb from Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. He, by the way, Mike Trout says that was definitely for him, and he was definitely watching over us tonight. There were 7 Angel runs in the first inning, 13 runs total. Tyler would have celebrated his 28th birthday on July 13th. Hmm. 7 and 13, July 13th. Michael Pena finished the no-hitter by retiring Malik Smith, who was the 28th Mariner to bat. Tyler would have been 28. So again, it's numerology. People are seeing all these connections and thinking that it's all divinely inspired. The last time there was a combined no-hitter in the state of California, this is kind of a weird coincidence, but again, I think like all of these, I think they're all coincidences. The last time there was a combined no-hitter, like we saw Friday night in Anaheim, in the state of California, was the Orioles at Oakland, which happened on July 13th, 1991, the day that Tyler Skaggs was born.
Wow.
That is really wild.
Yeah, that's a crazy coincidence.
So you believe all of these things to just be random? None of these things connect for you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, there are lots of baseball games that have X number of runs in an inning that don't tie into anything. I mean, people are looking for a connection. They're like, ooh, he was born in July and they got 7 runs in that inning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people are looking for him. People are putting the pieces together. The pieces are there to be put together. I mean, the numbers all work. They all fit.
So, like, God forbid I were to pass away, do you think the next day they'd go, and it was a Monday show, and he started on a Monday?
Yeah, I think people look for connections.
He was hit by a Hostess truck. He loved Twinkies.
It's a good way to go.
So what do you, Allie, I feel like you have more spirituality than I do. What do you take away from all of these connections?
She's basically Miss Cleo compared to you.
Well, everyone is compared to Bean. I think it's beautiful. I think everything you just said and all of those connections make people feel better. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
But do you think there's a divine hand that is involved in this?
Sure.
I mean, do you think the Lord Jesus above said, you know what? It's time for the Angels to have their 11th no-hitter because this young man we lost wore number 11 in high school.
I don't think it has to be Jesus. I think it can be whatever you want it to be. See, Bean, you don't have to believe it, but you also don't have to poo-poo those
I'm not
that
poo-pooing
do
it.
Find the connection in.
Hail Satan.
I did not poo-poo it. I want you to notice that I understand that there are people who get comfort. And I'm sure, for instance, for his mother, I'm sure it was she's had the worst month of her entire life. I'm sure it all felt good. And I'm sure she now feels like, she's got an even stronger connection with her son.
Yeah.
But as a result of all this happening.
Bean, isn't there just, if you think, like, let's say you think just everything is wild and nothing has those kind of connotations, right? Couldn't it just be the way the world works? Like, wouldn't you look at it and be like, yeah, man, the world is weird and creates numbers. Like, couldn't you see that?
I think I agree with that. The world is weird and creates numbers. But, I mean, a home run goes 454 feet, and the guy they're honoring wore number 45. I mean, Mike Trout has hit lots of home runs in that range. You know what I mean? It's not unusual for him to have done that.
Except it was on his day.
Yes, and he was wearing everybody, all the Angels were wearing Tyler's number 45.
Number. Yeah. Well, that would be, seems coincidental.
Explain it to me. How does it work then?
Well, I don't believe, I'm not saying like Jesus was like, go 454 feet. Like, I don't think, that's how he speaks, by the way.
Dundee speaks English.
He didn't move it along like angels in the outfield. What I think happened is just the way I think that coincidence can, there's free will, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get very deep here.
Okay.
But then there's also things we can't control. And I think that there are coincidences that happen that we're not making up out of nowhere. It's a great week for Tom DeLonge to come in, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And just that's the way every – oh, that's not – to me, I go, oh, obviously it went 454 feet. Like, it's just – that's how I see the world. My mom sort of is hippie like that where, yeah, things work out.
So you just – you enjoy the symmetry of it.
Yes. And I think that the symmetry is part of our existence.
Yeah. Look – I'm not poo-pooing it, Allie.
You are, though.
If I'm not. I'm just saying I don't believe – I think that's it's a convenient bunch of coincidences that I am happy that there are people who take comfort from. But I do not think there is a divine or other intervention going on here. But it was a beautiful night at Angel Stadium, and Tyler Skaggs will be well-remembered and very well-loved. All right, moving on. This week is Comic-Con, the 50th anniversary of the Comic-Con celebration in San Diego. And thanks to TCL, the Kevin Bean Show is going to be broadcasting live from Theater Box, home to the all-new TCL Chinese Theater in San Diego this Thursday and Friday. And TCL, America's fastest-growing TV brand, is now offering soundbars for a complete premium home theater solution. We have one of each that you can win, a TV and a soundbar. Mm. Allie, any clue on what person we are looking for to call right now to play a game?
If you know vehicles used in movies and television,
oh.
I mean, could it be a plane? Could it be a car?
Vehicles.
Could it be a hoverboard? Like those type of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you're dialed into some of the great TV shows and what how they got around. We
yes.
want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game. You can, I don't know how you guys are about electronics, but when I see that there's a new 55-inch TCL 5 Series TV and Alto 7 Plus soundbar from mm-hmm. TCL, mm-hmm. I salivate. I got to have it. And that's what we're giving away to you right now at 1-800-520-1067. They are the sponsors of the Kevin and Bean Show as we broadcast live from San Diego this Thursday and Friday for Comic-Con. The game is called Ride or Die.
Oh, yeah. Let's get funky. TCL TV for free. Gets the famous ride from a movie or TV. Yeah, it's that simple. It's easy as pie. Come on, let's play Ride or Die.
Keep it funky now.
I mean, there's no better host for a game called Ride or Die than Miss Allie McKay, that's for
Thank
sure.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Yeah.
Your contestants are lined up. What are you looking for?
You're just going to name the mode of transportation, the ride, if you will, from the clue that I'm basically explaining. It's very easy.
All right. If you get it right, you go into the drawing. One will win the new TV and soundbar. Danny is in Huntington Park, and he is a truck driver. I don't know if this is going to give him an advantage or not. But he works in a vehicle. Allie, what do you have for him?
That might give him an advantage, Bean.
Oh, good.
You're right. Perhaps, hey, Danny, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Perhaps one of the most iconic modes of transportation in comics, television, and movies. The number one Barris Built was sold at Barrett Jackson Auctions in 2013 for $4,620,000. This heavily armored, weaponized vehicle is used by its owner in his fight against crime, and it's known as what? Name that ride.
The Batmobile.
Yes.
The Batmobile indeed. Excellent,
well,
Danny.
Well done.
Ride or die.
You are in the drawing. Robin Irvine is a driver.
What? What?
He's a driver.
Yep, yep, yep.
All
Rob,
right.
You're on with Allie.
Rob, listen up. You hear that beautiful tune. It's still seen every Halloween as part of a timeless costume. All you need is a red hoodie, an extraterrestrial wrapped in a blanket placed in a basket to complete the look. But what mode of transportation do we picture up in the sky passing that full moon from that iconic film from 1982? Name that ride.
Oh, that would be the
bike.
It is indeed.
Bicycle in the sky.
Yes. I mean, we didn't ask for that, but now I love you, Rob.
Ride or die. That was an impression of E.T. from Rob.
I loved it. I loved it.
Bright is in Hawthorne. It doesn't say here what he drives or if he drives. But let's see how he does anyway. Brian, good morning. Good luck.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right, Brian. Despite her humble origins and shabby exterior, this vehicle has played a role in some of the greatest victories of the Rebel Alliance and the New Republic. Manned by a man that has some problems saying I love you and his trusty furry sidekick. By the way, the newest Lego version has over 7,500 pieces and will run you about $800. What is this ride?
Millennium Falcon.
Indeed.
Ride or die.
Three for three, y'all.
All right. Steve is up next. Our next contestant joining us from Los Angeles. Hey, Steve, you're on with Allie.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Steve, you're going to need a cool ride to cruise the streets of New York City to bust some ghosts. Was it a hearse? Was it an ambulance? Well, we know it was a 1959 Cadillac professional chassis built by the Miller Meteor Company. By the way, it was an ambulance-hearse combo. It was the end loader variety. Name that ride.
The Ghostbuster vehicle.
It's got to be more technical.
Yeah.
What was the name they gave it? What was on the plate?
Oh, jeez, you're killing me. I can't remember.
Nope.
Okay. Oh, it's the Ecto-1, Steve.
The Ecto-1 was the name of the vehicle. Oh. So sorry, Steve.
Ride or die.
Julio, Los Angeles. Next contestant here on K-Rock, playing for a brand new 55-inch TCL TV and soundbar. Good luck, Julio.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, Julio, this car is based off of a real vehicle. But in Back to the Future, it's just an electric time machine, requires a power input of 1.21 gigawatts to operate. Originally provided by a plutonium-fueled nuclear reactor. But Doc has no access to plutonium in 1955, so he has a big old pole and a hook, and that's how he channels a lightning bolt into the flux capacitor to send Marty McFly back to 1985. But what is the real name of the ride used in Back to the Future?
The DeLorean?
It is a DeLorean. Indeed.
Ride or die!
All right, we got time for just a couple of more. Let's go to Juan Orange up next. Line 6, please.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, what's up, party? Hey, party people.
All right. This car is a 1969 Dodge Charger, driven by the Duke boys, Bo and Luke. It's known for its signature horn. Also for its police chases, its stunts, especially its long jumps, and for so stupidly having its doors welded shut. Whatever. It just seems really silly. But what was the name of this ride?
The General Lee.
Indeed.
Ride or die.
Our audience could go head-to-head with James on Jeopardy. I'm telling you.
They
are very
bad.
Strong today. All right, one more contestant to go into the drawing to win the hardware. It's going to be Richard Fontana, our final contestant on line 7.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, party people.
So I'm not sure anyone didn't want a talking car after the show premiered in the early 80s. In the original series, the car was a modified 1982 Pontiac Trans Am manned by the one and only David Hasselhoff. What was the name of this highly advanced, artificially intelligent, self-aware, and nearly indestructible ride?
Kit.
It was indeed. Night
ride
Industries.
Or die.
2000.
Very
Kit.
Impressive, you guys. Richard, Juan, Julio, Brian, Rob, and Danny, all in the drawing. Only one will win the brand new TCL 5 Series TV and a Alto 7 Plus soundbar from TCL, our sponsors for Comic-Con Thursday and Friday morning. Jensen Karp, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Julio.
Julio, new TV, new soundbar from TCL. Way to be, man.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Congrats. Thank you for playing morning. Ride or Die.
Ride or die.
Keep it funky now.
Hey, Allie. What's happening? This is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Take it away, Allie.
What's going on?
I don't know if that guy understands the joy that he brought when he said that one day.
Yeah, I'm a Hulk Hogan guy. Is he Caller of the Year?
Oh,
Might he be Caller of the Year, or is What's Going On guy Caller of the Year?
Or is Martha Caller of the Year?
Martha Caller of the
Year.
That'll be a race.
It'll be a real tight race. He actually wound up
posting it on Instagram. And so I wrote to him and I said, do you have any idea how often we do that off the air to each other? I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way. It's so stupid.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
It's so dumb. Oh, the joy.
We have often said that our listeners of this radio show are way funnier than our hosts of this radio show.
100%.
So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Absolutely. All right, guys, some box office numbers for you. Spider-Man Far From Home continues to swing past all the previous Spider-Man films.
Nope.
$45.3 million second weekend total. Not bad. And then you think about how it's already brought in an astonishing $847 million, you guys, worldwide. That's nuts. That's bonkers.
Jensen, you've seen a bunch of these Spider-Man movies over the years. How do you rank Tom Holland? I think he's a lot of people's favorites.
I think he's great. I think anyone who's not given the burden of having to explain again why you're Spider-Man has done much better. Because
we saw the origin.
We saw it so many times in a row that I think it affected all of them. So he jumped right in. It's great.
But Toby was a great Spider-Man, too.
Yes. I think in one. I don't know if any of his sequels were that great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming in number two, Toy Story 4, which is approaching $350 million domestically. Third, the alligator thriller Crawl grossed a decent $12 million opening for third place.
He'll deny it, but you know Kevin somehow went to that movie this weekend.
Had to.
I don't care what gauze he had on his head.
Agreed.
How much it was bleeding. He figured out a way to see Crawl.
Agreed.
One for Crawl, please. Sir, I can see your brain. You're not allowed in here.
You guys, $13 million budget. It's already made $12 million. So they got to be pretty happy with that.
Sure.
Stuber came in fourth with an $8 million opening. And rounding out the top five, the movie Yesterday with $6.7 million. And, of course, the movie Yesterday is about a world without the Beatles. And nobody knows what that is like. That was at Dodger Stadium Saturday night when Paul McCartney wrapped up his Freshen Up World Tour and the remaining Beatles reunited. Yeah, he brought up Ringo Starr.
Call me fabulous.
They did Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and Helter Skelter together.
Ringo.
Indeed, Ringo. By the way, Paul McCartney also performed a 38-song set.
What?
Jensen's already out. What would you stay for, like 15-song set? Or
15-song sound set sounds perfect.
Unbelievable.
An hour? Okay, I get it. It's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay there longer than an hour, but I'll give him an hour 30.
Okay.
Dude, the people who got... were there for 3 hours, though, had the time of their lives.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, then, they got more than their money's worth.
They were giving money back to Paul as they walked past him.
Throwing it at him like it's an Italian wedding. No, what I was saying is I think the prices should be lower. So I'm agreeing that the value would be worth it. I'm just saying there is no need to get into album cuts. Hour and a half. Thank you.
It's Paul
McCartney. He did three songs from the new record, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, those could be cut.
And I know you hate that.
Those are gone.
He didn't do Meat Free Monday. Which is a bummer.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying is, I love milkshakes, but I don't need 64 ounces of milkshake.
100%.
I can't drink that much. Just give me 12 ounces of milkshake. That's all I can handle.
Thank you, Bean. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Don't
need Nothing wrong with milkshakes, but in moderation.
Don't need a big gulp. Love soda? Fine, sure. Just don't need a ton of it. Also, both things that you gave me.
In America.
Sorry, Rodney.
Really changed.
Yeah.
Our lives.
I'm happy that cut me off.
We grew hair when the Beatles weren't
here. Think about
we
that.
We were bald Jackson. Before
that. We started bands.
Uh-huh. Right.
Bands
dressing cooler.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But before all that happened, it was news about the Beatles.
Yeah.
With John F. Kennedy was really put everybody
out.
In a sad position.
So he did.
So he did.
And then the Beatles arrived and sort of changed everybody's lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, what a dick move for Kennedy, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Put us in a bad situation.
To be assassinated, we were all like, everything's so great. And then we're like, womp, womp, this
Beatles,
sucks.
They had to start buying an 8-ball.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Hey, the Beatles invented us.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Thank
I mean, they gave us hair, you guys.
Right.
Literal
and bands.
Hair.
What I was saying is I guess I'm saying that there is no need to play anything old. Mm-hmm. There's no need to be so expensive. We can keep it short. End of story. Thanks.
Well, you're
wrong.
You're
the worst. You are the worst.
Yeah, okay. You're wrong.
Speaking of the worst, so remember I told you about the Dairy Queen worker who made an amazing cake, that wound up going viral because they called in and the woman had a very thick Georgia accent. So when she said she wanted a Moana cake, the manager at this Dairy Queen heard marijuana cake. So the woman put together a really cute marijuana leaf, and then she put together a My Little Pony.
Smoke weed every day.
It had red eyes and then a little marijuana tramp stamp on the My Little Pony's butt. It was creative. It was wonderful. And now she is without a job.
What?
What? You guys, this makes no sense to me. Cassandra Walker, who is the Georgia Dairy Queen employee who made the ice cream cake, said she was fired over the mistake. And it wasn't even her fault in the first place. It was the manager that took the phone call, they got the order wrong, and then the manager that watched her make it, and the manager that okayed it leaving the door. She then was just doing what she was told.
This sucks.
She's just following instructions.
Yeah. Ooh.
Which can get you in a lot of trouble in some cases.
That. Yeah, it's
but how do they fire her for this?
That's the question. I don't know. She was offered her position back by a different Dairy Queen manager on Thursday, but she declined the offer because of how she was treated after the misunderstanding.
And she's setting up her lawsuit. She's got to go do all these lawyer meetings now.
Right.
Just what a bummer for her.
Yeah, it's definitely not her fault.
I don't like it.
That's uncool.
That is uncool.
And by the way, I never want you to forget that this children's birthday cake. Was a Moana intended cake for a 25-year-old.
It was not for a child. So much
not for
as
a child at all.
So much for a 25-year-old grown ass woman who
that's sad.
Just loves cartoons, you guys. I mean,
I do think that should come into play during the judgment. Like, they got a marijuana cake, which is more in line with a 25-year-old than a Moana cake. She did the right thing.
Yeah, even if you want to say the store put me in an embarrassing position, you can't argue it's because I had a bunch of kids over to the house and they were horrified by the weed. Yeah, it was adults. Yeah.
And the family thought it was funny. The family enjoyed it
they had no
so
problem
much.
With
they
it.
Thought it was hysterical. Yeah. It's not like they were out there, like, in front of Dairy Queen with their, you know,
picket signs,
pitchforks and... things.
Yeah, come out. Sometimes people protest with pitchforks.
Yeah, you're trying to get Frankenstein's monster.
protesting with signs.
I don't like it.
The one guy that brought a pitchfork, though, that wasn't.
It was over the line.
Yeah, it was over the line. Some birthdays for you guys. We've got Gabriel Iglesias, Terrio Quinn, Brian Austin Green, Jesse Ventura. Oh, you don't do the Jesse Ventura sound when I say his name.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Scott Foley, Taylor Kinney, Jesse Ventura. Oh, you got me.
In case you were wondering, by the way, Spider Kevin has another doctor's appointment today. He's hoping to be rejoining us tomorrow on the program.
Do you think that's how Spider Harrison got his name?
The famous New York DJ?
Mm-hmm.
You think he was bit by a spider and they started calling him Spider? I mean, it's possible, I guess.
He used to talk like this, and then he got bit by a spider. He's like, hey, everybody, it's me, Spider Harrison.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry. But anyway, obviously, RIP Kevin, and our thoughts and prayers are with his family and all the stuff you say. But hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. That's what we're hoping anyway. Allie is here with our final look at what's happening on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you got?
What's going on?
Guys, this movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's hitting theaters on July 26th. Of course, directed by Quentin Tarantino.
I would like to see it.
Starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt. It looks...
I would like to see it.
Amazing. How would you like to see it a few days before it comes out in
Very
theaters?
Very much.
Okay. Why don't you give a call right now, and you're going to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at Arclight Hollywood on July 23rd. Let's take callers 10 through 14.
Call now!
1-800-520-1067, and you are going to be cooler than everyone.
Can I just say, how many movies is he up to? I know he says he's retiring after 10.
It's 9?
Is this 8 or 9?
This is 9.
This is 9.
Yeah.
He's never made a bad movie. You only argue about the degrees to how great they are.
I don't count 4 Rooms because he only directed one
that one
segment.
Tiny segment. It was the best segment in the movie,
yes,
too.
Yes.
He's never made a bad movie. Every movie he's made has been good or great and all worth seeing, and this one looks incredible.
Yeah, I agree. He has not made one stinker.
Well, there's a young man that's going to be in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You might also recognize him from the Carrie Diaries and the show Arrow. His name is Austin Butler, and he's going to get a lot more popular real quick because he has been cast as Elvis in Baz Luhrmann's biopic.
He got the job, huh?
He got the job. Yeah, they were throwing out
a lot of
Harry
competition.
Yeah, Harry Styles, Ansel Elgort, a lot of
Miles Teller,
a lot of names that were going. Couldn't figure out who was going to play him, but the role went to Austin Butler. So the movie is going to focus on Presley's rise and zenith, with a major aspect being his relationship with Colonel Tom Parker, played by Tom Hanks. So, sounds pretty good.
It's going to be good.
So now we've got our Elvis, everybody. We've got our Elvis. Do we have our next 007, though? This caused quite a stir.
You mean we're looking past Daniel Craig already?
Well, here's the thing.
I saw this, and it made me sick.
People,
I was sick all weekend.
And people didn't feel the need to actually read the accompanying
articles. What's reading me when
articles?
I just see the headline?
Yeah, here's
click
the thing.
Bait click.
They will be introducing a new 007 in what is being described as a popcorn-dropping moment in the franchise's 25th film, which is still currently filming. It's not a complete do-over. Here's the thing. They call in Agent 007, and in walks an African-American woman.
How
is that possible?
Who's that, Jane Bond?
Actually, she wouldn't be African-American because she's a British actress named Lashana Lynch. So not African-American, but a black woman named Lashana Lynch walks in because they are trying to figure out how to call back James Bond from retirement in this movie.
So she's become the new 007 while he's retired?
She has taken his number.
Oh, okay.
While he's retired.
They should retire that number. He's given so much to her majesty.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they call 007 into the room. You see this black woman. What? What is happening? Which, first of all, who's telling people of the most pivotal scene in the movie?
That's disappointing that that's come out.
Really rude. Really rude of y'all. So who knows what happens after that?
But yeah, what's next? A Mexican Han Solo?
We all know that he comes out of retirement on that beach in Jamaica to do some more 007-y things.
First the Ghostbusters, now James Bond. Where's my accent going?
I'm not real sure. It was like
James Bond.
Southern.
Oh, God. No, it's over.
It's okay. It's gone.
Move along.
Right. So we'll soon
find
out.
You sound like either Chip or Dale, whichever one on baskets.
Chip? Oh, Chip, why is there a female Bond?
Good stuff, you guys. Good stuff right there.
It's disappointing that we know that, though.
Yeah,
it is.
Stinks.
It's kind of a bummer. Yeah. Here's the thing with that whole R. Kelly deal. People are turning against him. It's R. Kelly's inner circle that gave investigators a trove of videos of the R&B singer allegedly having sex with underage girls. We're talking over 20 tapes featuring multiple underage victims. And those once enablers have since flipped, and they not only have a bunch of cooperating victims, but those enablers are now ready to testify against him.
Robert.
He's still being held in custody and could face hundreds of years in prison if convicted. So
I would feel better if we knew that the world didn't include jury members from the last trial who saw it on video and still acquitted him.
Yeah. Those people have to just every day be going, what were we thinking?
Yeah, I hope so.
Or they're counting the money or whatever stupid thing they did. I feel like he was always paying people off in these situations.
Right.
Like,
police, everyone.
So many of his songs have writing credits for people who've never written a song before, but also are parents of young girls that were claiming
maybe. Well, it's just like this Jeffrey Epstein story that's in the news right now. They found out that he was paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to people to not testify.
Awful.
It's all awful. They had the Hobbs and Shaw premiere.
Yes,
on
this
Saturday
is The
night.
Rock and Jason Statham.
Indeed. It was brought to a halt, though, following a brief electrical issue in the Dolby Theater. Reports from inside the venue say an electrical grid toward the front of the theater sparked about 30 minutes into the screening, causing flashes, loud popping noises to fill the room. The sparks then moved upward from the floor in the center of the orchestra and then back towards a block of seats. They didn't evacuate the theater, but a number of panic guests fled from the venue, leading to some widespread panic and confusion.
The Rock didn't jump in to save them?
Well, here's the thing. Before the movie resumed, Dwayne The Rock Johnson took time to address the audience, letting attendees know that he was waiting in the wings to make sure the crowd was safe. He then said, however, Jason Statham ran his ass out of here. What a
it, Dick. I love it, you guys. The delay lasted only around 15 minutes before
the problem
the
with
movie.
The Rock being there and overseeing Hollywood is he then left New York City vulnerable, and then they had the big power outage.
Exactly. That power
can't be
outage.
Every place.
And wasn't it something like an insane to the day of the 1977
yes.
power outage?
It was the exact anniversary, the 42nd anniversary of that power outage. For
numbers, but everything is just coincidental, right, Bean?
Yes, exactly.
Nothing means anything.
Nothing means anything.
This guy.
This guy. Well, if you were one of the people at J-Lo's concert at Madison Square Garden when those lights went out within the first song or so that she was performing, don't you worry. She's kind of retooled everything. She's playing there tonight. She's like, this isn't going to ruin my 50th birthday celebration with my hometown fans. We're going to do it Monday. So, rescheduled for Monday. Not bad. Bean, you've got something rescheduled that you're doing tonight.
My Rolling Stones concert was canceled this weekend because of Hurricane Barry. Rescheduled for tonight.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That was a real roller coaster.
Sometimes they have to reschedule it for like the tag it on to the end of the tour. And then
right.
by that
months
time,
later, yeah.
A, who even knows if you're in America? And B, who even knows if you like the Rolling Stones still? Right?
That's a safe bet. But yes, I'm going to attempt to leave my house and go out tonight. We'll
Good
see how
you.
That goes.
I like it.
I'm
like
already
it.
Sweating it.
Are you?
I mean, you saw Billie Eilish alone.
I know.
So in another
I've seen the Rolling Stones alone too, by the way.
You could do anything.
You were saying you have seen the Rolling Stones on basically every tour since the 80s, right?
Yeah, and every time I go, well, this is it. This is the last time I'll ever get to see them. Look how old they are. And that goes back to the 80s, yes. And here we are in 2019.
My gosh.
And they're still out there in their upper 70s getting it done.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's dancing like a madman.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
He doesn't stop.
No.
Yeah. I mean, when you picture a 75 to 78-year-old,
I think Kevin.
That's what you're talking about is the Rolling Stones.
I think Kevin. I don't think of
still Stones. Doing it. It's, yeah, it's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. It's madness. You guys, Avengers Endgame is headed towards complete box office domination. They are now just 7.16 million behind Avatar's all-time record of 2.7.
How are they going to get it over the
billion.
Line?
Well, they think that the push recently was the a little late in life boost because people were saying, oh, in order to see Spider-Man Far From Home, you should really see Avengers Endgame beforehand. It's going to kind of lead
it
you
connects,
right
yeah.
into the movie. I don't know. How do they figure out just to get them over that hump?
Because they already tried adding some additional scenes, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
At the end. So they've done that. 3D? Put it out in 3D?
3D would be good. Maybe 3D. Different, like a different score, like a funnier music, like all Weird Al or whatever.
Funny Avengers bloopers at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That'd be cool.
A commentary, like a director's commentary you put on a headset and watch the movie at the same time.
I mean, I'd be into that.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
That'd be cool. All right. You guys, Airbnb is offering you the chance to become a mermaid, at least for a day.
What?
Did you know there are now things called the Airbnb Experience, which suggests different fun activities in the area that you're staying that you can then purchase on top of your stay?
This party lit!
So a photographer from San Diego is offering up the Mermaid Experience. You're going to get mermaid tails, a clamshell top, even makeup. Clients can get that package, which includes 10 to 15 edited pictures plus the rented costume, for $85. But pay just a little bit more and you can use a more, quote, realistic looking tail. I want to know what this one looks like. If for more, you can get a more realistic looking one. I didn't know they were doing those Airbnb experiences.
Nor did I.
Interesting.
We all sound very excited by it.
Don't need it.
Don't need it?
No.
All right. Do you guys follow any influencers on Instagram?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think I do. But I guess I'm influenced by things on Instagram.
Yeah.
I bought a bunch of stuff, so I guess I've been influenced.
Well, here's the thing. The things that you're buying, are those the sponsored posts that you see?
Sometimes I've done that.
Well, those are kind of ruining the influencer, is what we're learning. The Influencer DB, which is a company that tracks the impact of influencers, released a new report that says the number of followers liking influencer posts is at a record low. They found that a surge in sponsored posts is making it harder than ever for influencers to reach their followers.
AKA, make sure you pay Instagram and you'll make more money.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm reading through this.
Yeah. Also, the fact that Instagram did a little kibosh on fake followers.
Mm-hmm.
that probably didn't help a lot influencers as well. So, listen, I don't know who you're looking to for your tummy tea, but, you know, throw them a like every now and then.
Yeah.
And make them know it's worth it, their whole existence. Because a lot of people are nothing without their followers.
I've heard that, yes.
Have you heard that? Anyone?
I'm trying. It'll take a while.
So, an influencer once said something cool about their followers.
Okay.
All right.
I'm nothing without my following.
There you go. Guys, you want to talk some birthdays?
Stop reporting me, bro.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Gabriel Iglesias, Terry O'Quinn, Brian Austin Green. I'm going to need that longer, Jesse Ventura, because it's so good.
Yeah.
Scott Foley, Taylor Kinney, and former Minnesota governor and pro wrestler, Mr. Jesse Ventura.
Mr. Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, the wrestler.
You bet I got something to say. You check it out. Woo, the most beautiful body in professional wrestling. And I got something to talk about. Everywhere I've been going throughout the country, I've been touring with Fleetwood Mac. I've been partying with REO Speedwagon. Why, I've even arm wrestled the Werewolf of London, Warren Zevon.
No, you haven't.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today. And you think about that, chump.
I'm thinking none of that happened.
I think it's a total lie.
Why?
The great people of Minnesota did vote for him to be their governor, by the way.
Yeah,
they did.
He won by like a landslide.
He did.
Good times, everybody. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Jensen. Mm-hmm. The SoCal helpful Honda dealers and Henny. Tomorrow on the
kill people.
I've heard that.
Right?
I feel jealous that we've never made someone have a heart attack.
You listen to their show and you'll have a heart attack.
Yeah.
A 55-inch TCL 5 Series TV and an Alto 7 sound bar. That's for you from our friends at TCL tomorrow, since they are sponsoring our broadcast later this week in San Diego for Comic-Con. Also, more advanced screening tickets for the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We got OC Fair tickets for you tomorrow. We got Cure tickets for you tomorrow. Melissa will be on, giving us an update on the back-to-school program for friends and helpers. It's that time of year already. Amazon Prime is going on, and there are some people, like Omar, already walking around crowing about the great deals he's getting. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to begin on Amazon Prime.
Me neither.
Fortunately, this year it is a 2-day event, so tomorrow we can all learn how we should be saving money on that. And as a result of the story that Allie told us earlier today about the poor woman who decorated the cake at the Dairy Queen in Alabama and then got fired for it, even though it wasn't her fault, we're going to be looking for your calls if you were fired and it wasn't your fault. That's